You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Two and one. I know that's a little bit misleading, but when you consider where the Rockets were just a little over 24 hours ago, I think we will happily cling to that at the moment. On that positive note, welcome into another joyous post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat late this Saturday evening, the Rockets are victorious yet again on both ends of the weekend back-to-back. First Friday night in Brooklyn with a 119-111 breakneck win on night one of the back-to-back. Then a bit more of a slugfest, a 96-88 win on Saturday night in Chicago. The back-to-back wins improved the Rockets to 3-5 on the year after that four-game losing streak and a brutal 1-5 start to the year. But more importantly, it improved the Rockets, as stated, to 2-1 in the games that Chris Paul and James Harden, the stars of the team, have actually played together. Because between the two-game suspension for Chris Paul, followed by the three-game hamstring injury to James Harden, we have not seen the Rockets as designed, really, this entire season. And even though Saturday night, both of those guys returned, number one, it was a back-to-back, which early in the season could be taxing on anyone. And number two, the Rockets did not have Eric Gordon, who sat out with leg soreness. I think that's just precautionary this early in the season on a road back-to-back, Friday night in Brooklyn and then Saturday night in Chicago. But regardless, the Rockets, after starting 1-5, we mentioned needing to get some positive results so that they can at least start to get back on level footing and play to what the roster on paper suggests it should be. Well, for two nights in a row, and now we're finally seeing some continuity, the Rockets are getting those results. Chris Paul, Saturday night, he was the story Friday. He seemed to be a little bit tired. He mentioned after the game Friday that he was exhausted, 32-11, but he had to take 27 shots to get there in the absence of James Harden. He seemed a little bit fatigued Saturday. His jumpers were short, 3 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 behind the arc, just 7 points. Did have 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 steals, so it wasn't as if he wasn't contributing. But he needed some help in terms of the heavy lifting offensively as a scorer. Well, thankfully, that's where the league MVP James Harden came in. 25 points, 7 assists in his 33 minutes. Actually didn't score in the first quarter and a half, but he got it going in a big way, starting in the middle of the second quarter. He needed a bit of time to ease into it, but he started things with an 8-0 personal run midway through the second quarter. The Rockets got it close at the half, down just a couple of points. And then, as they did on Friday, the story Saturday was the third quarter, the Rockets outscoring Chicago 21-7. In this case, they didn't necessarily have the offensive juice on night two of a road back-to-back, but they did have the defensive performance yet again. And I know the Bulls are not an especially good team, but when you consider where the Rockets were in this 1-5 start in which they were giving up 115-plus with regularity, to hold any team, even night two of a road back-to-back, and actually it wasn't a road back-to-back for Chicago, they were home on both ends, but to hold any team, regardless of circumstances, to 7 points in a quarter, that's not something the Rockets do a few days ago. That's progress. So across the board, even the guys that have been much maligned defensively, Carmelo Anthony, who played 32 minutes after on night two of the road back-to-back after playing 31 on night one, he was solid again. Of course, offensively, 17 points, 8 of 14 from the field, but also solid defensively as well. James Harden, I thought, was also quality defensively, 4 steals in his 33 minutes. But generally speaking, the Rockets had to grind. They didn't have the offensive firepower, especially without Eric Gordon. But with the return of James Harden, it was enough in this one. And again, the key thing to me, it's not that either James Harden or Chris Paul was brilliant. James Harden, 25-7, also the 4 steals, as mentioned, but 33 minutes, 7 of 17 from the field. Now, he did make 5 of 12 from behind the arc. He had 8 turnovers. You could tell that after missing a week and a half with a grade 1 plus hamstring strain, he did not have his usual level of burst off the dribble. He was not the same attacking James Harden that he is when he's fresh, but that's understandable. Again, he's missed over a week with a hamstring strain that's not just a grade 1, it was close to a grade 2. So to see him come back and the Rockets without Eric Gordon, again, he was out with a sore leg. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. I think it's more precautionary. We know he had an Achilles strain in the preseason, and with a road back-to-back, with anyone in early November that has even a slight injury, you're not going to want to push them. But James Harden, he gave it all he had, 33 minutes, 25-7. You're not going to complain about that. James Ennis, by the way, we'll talk about him more as we move our way through our 3 points recap, 15 points in just 17 minutes. When you have a grade 2 hamstring strain, as Ennis did, or a grade 1 plus, as Harden did, it's not easy to come back in under 2 weeks. But these guys understand that the straits the Rockets were in at 1-5, they are giving you all they have. And fortunately, the Rockets, again, it's not that the Nets and Bulls are great opponents, but when you start 1-5, you need to take the wins however they come. Because for the Rockets, on paper, look, you have the league MVP, you have another MVP, or another top 10 player, I should say, in Chris Paul. You're going to be fine based on the roster that Daryl Morey has put together, unless there's a spiraling effect. Unless there's something psychologically that makes you worse than what on paper you should be. And that's what these last two games, it's not to say that beating a 2-8 Bulls team or a 3-6 Nets team is anything to write home about. But at this point with the Rockets, and while we can criticize the Bulls and the Nets record, at the same time we should also acknowledge when they started 1-5, those six teams they played were all Western Conference playoff contenders at a bare minimum. So it's not like they were losing to really bad teams even when they were struggling. But generally speaking, you play who's in front of you on the schedule. And for the Rockets, the talent is there to where it's going to be fine. Now, when I say fine, is that good enough to compete with the Warriors? I don't know about that, but it's one step at a time. First, when you start 1-5 the way the Rockets did and you're 0-4 at home and getting blown out, you can't worry about the Warriors. First, you've got to stabilize before you get to that next step or even the intermediate step towards actual contention. And that's what these two games this weekend have done. And I think what the Rockets needed more than anything was a mental foundation. And getting this one on Saturday night, it's not just 2 in a row. It now makes you 2-1 in games this season in which Chris Paul and James Harden have both played. Chris Paul played the first two games of the season, the opening night loss to New Orleans, and then the win in Staples Center against the Lakers on night two before getting suspended two games for the Rajon Rondo punching incident. Then, of course, as soon as Chris Paul was eligible to be reinstated, then James Harden went out for three games with the hamstring strain. So between those first two games and tonight, these were the only three games that your two top 10 players, including the MVP, have played together. And they've won two of them, and the only loss was way back on opening night. That's certainly not to say that they were brilliant tonight. Again, Chris Paul scored just 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting, although, again, I think there were some extenuating circumstances. He's 33 years old. It's night two of a road back-to-back, and he put up 32 and 11 on 27 shots Friday night, an extraordinarily high workload. James Harden, 25 points, 7 assists, 4 steals, did have 8 turnovers, but again, not anywhere close to his usual springs, just 10 days after suffering a grade 1 plus strain of his left hamstring, which is so important given how James Harden pushes the ball towards the rim and how physical he can be. It's not to say that they were dominant, that they took over the game, but they were enough against a Bulls team that certainly is not all that good, that even with the Rockets playing probably a B-plus game at best. Now, defensively, they showed you something. We'll talk about that more as we move our way through our 3 points recap. But the Rockets did not play an A game by any stretch of the imagination. But this is the kind of game, even if it's night two and a road back-to-back, if you have two top 10 players, including the MVP, and you're playing a Bulls team without that level of anchor, you should be able to grind your way to that win. And that's what the Rockets did. If there's one thing that was a little bit uncomfortable about the 119-111 win on Friday night, they showed spurts of good defense, but they were down 57-43, and it was uncomfortable, at least early in the game. The rim runs, the points in the paint that the Nets had, it was too reminiscent of that start. This was the first game that, at least in one end of the floor, limiting the Bulls to 88 points, reminded you of last season. The Rockets didn't have that turbo nuclear button, but they were able to grind. It always felt like that they were in control. And that's what things should feel like when you have James Harden and Chris Paul. That's not to say that they're in peak form where they need to be to challenge the Warriors. They're not by any stretch of the imagination. But when you have James Harden and Chris Paul both out on the basketball floor, not significantly limited by injury, then especially against a team like Chicago, but there's more teams like that around the NBA than you would think, that's enough for you to be stable, for you to grind your way, as long as your defense isn't laughably bad. If you have James Harden and Chris Paul, that's going to be enough for you to, at a bare minimum, be a pretty good team. Now, to be more than that, well, you need Eric Gordon back. He didn't play Saturday night, again, sitting out with a sore leg. You need Clint Capela a little bit more, 12-12, but he shot just 4 of 11 from the field. I think after Clint played 37 minutes on the front end of the back-to-back, his legs, his springs might have not been all the way there. But generally speaking, between Chris Paul, James Harden, and the defense that we saw Saturday night, peaked by that 7-point third quarter that they limited Chicago to, that's the closest thing we've seen yet to the 2017-2018 Rockets. They're not back, but they have won back-to-back games. They're 2-1 with Chris Paul and James Harden. And in my opinion, while it wasn't pretty, it's something to build on, especially now that with a day off before things resume Monday night in Indiana, as far as we know, both James Harden and Chris Paul should only get healthier moving forward. And hopefully, as that happens, they'll get more explosive offensively, while hopefully retaining some of the things, same things that we saw defensively in this 96-88 win over the Bulls on Saturday evening. Now, we spent much of the first segment of the show discussing James Harden and Chris Paul, because look, generally speaking, the Rockets are going to go as those two take them. And even though Chris Paul looked a little winded on night two of a road back-to-back, James Harden, after missing three games with a grade 1+ hamstring strain and just being 10 days removed from that happening, wasn't as explosive as you would normally expect him to be. Between the two of them, 32 points, 15 assists, 8 steals against a Bulls team without any superstar of significance, that should be enough as long as the defensive effort is not terrible. And when you limit any team in the NBA, I don't care if it's the Bulls on night two of a back-to-back, when you limit an NBA team to 88 points, especially in this freedom of movement emphasis that we're seeing now across the NBA, you can live with that performance. And that, to me, is the storyline for the Rockets, that they have James Harden and Chris Paul back, and even on a night when they weren't that explosive, that's still enough to win. And for all that's been made of their start to the year, again, this is only the third time of the seven games in that 2-5 start. Well, only two of them had both Chris Paul and James Harden, and now in three games that you've had those two guys, you're 2-1, and the only loss was way back on opening night. So again, for the Rockets to go anywhere, those two have got to be the foundation. Those two have got to be two top 10 pieces on a consistent basis. And while I won't say that both of those guys were at that level on Saturday night, there were some extenuating circumstances. At the same time, they got the win. And when you're playing a team like Chicago, when you get a break in the schedule, that's what you should be able to do when you have guys of that stature, even if they're not physically in peak form on a given night. That said, it's not as if the Rockets were just able to ride Chris Paul and James Harden alone. Now, I think they did a lot in terms of attracting attention, as they always do, but they needed role players to step up. And for a second consecutive night, one of those role players was Carmelo Anthony. He had 28 points and 31 minutes on Friday night, then on Saturday night, played 32 minutes and had a cool 17 points. Slightly cooler in terms of his percentage from the field, 9 of 12 on Friday night, 8 of 14 on Saturday. But even though his legs might have been a little bit fatigued from outside the arc, where he was 1 of 7, his threes were generally a little bit short, well, he just made all 7 of his shots inside the arc. He was a force, it felt like, in the low post. And in general, he was doing what Ryan Anderson could not. And this is his optimal role, when you can bring him off the bench. Now, maybe when James Ennis is fully healthy, Ennis had 15 points, made 3 three-pointers, but just only played 17 minutes. I think he's returning from a grade 2 hamstring strain. They are very wary not to stretch his minutes at this moment, especially on a back-to-back. There's a reason they listed him as questionable going into the game. I don't think it's because he re-aggravated anything on Friday night. I think it's because coming off the hamstring strain, especially in a back-to-back, you're not going to push your guys that hard. I think that's why James Harden didn't play at all on the front end. But to see Carmelo Anthony play 32 minutes, again, he wasn't that much of a liability, if at all, defensively, plus 7 in those 32 minutes, it speaks to how valuable he is. And again, a lot of the story early in the year, entering tonight, Carmelo Anthony was 40.9%, basically 41% from behind the arc, which would be the best percentage of his career. Well, tonight, again, he was just 1 of 7. And it was fine because he was 7 of 7 inside the arc. He had a couple of shots near the rim, but more than that, he bullied his way in the post against a Bulls team that's relatively young. And while there's talent, they're not necessarily thick in the pants, if you will. Carmelo Anthony, at 34 years old, a lot stronger. He kind of bullied his way on that low block. And this is the kind of matchup where he can feast. There wasn't necessarily the huge defensive mismatch that would pose some problems on that end of the floor, and offensively against a team that's, again, fairly athletic and talented, but not necessarily all that thick or defensively savvy, I would say. They're skilled because they're athletic, but they're not especially high IQ. Carmelo was able to take advantage of that. This is where a wily veteran, one of the NBA's top all-time career scorers in year 16, can be an asset. And relative to Ryan Anderson, this was the kind of game where, and this is where it gets back to Carmelo Anthony's actual role. If he's your starting three, as he was for a lot of the past week, then no, he's not going to be good enough. Because at 34 years old, if you're starting Carmelo at the three, and you also have PJ Tucker and Clint Capella out there, there's going to be a mismatch somewhere, especially in the switching scheme that the Rockets like to implement, and the other team's going to be able to take advantage. That's just the way it is. But if you can bring him off the bench, play him primarily as a 4 and a 5 in that Ryan Anderson role from a year ago, he should be an upgrade. Because a year ago, when Ryan Anderson went 1 of 7 from 3, that was it. And quite frankly, I'm not even sure if he goes 1 of 7, because he probably stopped shooting after he missed the first couple. That's something we saw him getting tentative. With Carmelo Anthony, even though the threes weren't falling, he still found a way to contribute in other ways. And that's so important because in a grinded-out game that became a little bit of a half-court slugfest, given how tired both of these teams were early in the season, no one's in peak conditioning, and it's night two of a back-to-back for both sides, someone needed to step up and make some difficult shots. And that's what Melo did. Yes, he can bring you the same catch-and-shoot threat, or at least similar to that, as Ryan Anderson. We've seen that a lot through the first six games, or seven games, I should say. They were 2-5 until tonight, now 3-5. But what we saw tonight was that even when the threes weren't falling, there's a dimension he gives you that Ryan Anderson did not. And it's very valuable, because it's an older team for the Rockets, and right now they're going through some injuries as well. James Harden coming off the hamstring strain, Eric Gordon not playing tonight, Chris Paul not injured, but he's 33 years old on night two of a road back-to-back, and on night one he had to shoot 27 times. There are going to be nights where even on a team that should be as offensively gifted as the Rockets are, someone needs to do the heavy lifting, and Carmelo Anthony, for all of his flaws, he can put the ball in the basket, and that's what he did tonight. One-on-one situations, he made things happen, and even though it wasn't the typical Ryan Anderson catch-and-shoot situations, he didn't succeed in those, he still found a way to succeed in other ways. So again, it encourages me that when you put Carmelo Anthony in the right role, not the starting three, that was never what he was supposed to do. Of course there are going to be defensive deficiencies when that happens, but when you can put him as your backup four and your backup five, and especially over the grind of an 82-game season, which you're going to play lots of teams like the Bulls that won't be able to punish you so much defensively, he can be a real asset. He was on the front end in Brooklyn when he hit seemingly everything, 9 of 12 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, 28 points in those 31 minutes. But even on night 2, in which he couldn't buy a bucket from 3, okay, he still put up 17 points in 32 minutes, 8 of 14 from the field, because he was 7 of 7 from inside the arc, also had 7 rebounds. His effort is good, his motor is good, he can make plays happen in one-on-one situations. Are the Bulls a fair representation of what you're going to play in a playoff setting? No, but again, what you're trying to do for 82 games, it's not that who you are in November is who you are in April. You're trying to buy games, buy time. The version of the team that you are in April is probably not going to be anywhere close to what you are in November, no matter what you do. So right now, you're just trying to get through that grind, and that's what Carmelo Anthony can help you do. And we haven't always seen it the first seven games, I think in part because the Rockets' schedule was very front-loaded in terms of opponents. But now that we've seen two games in a row, which the Rockets not playing exactly peak competition, Carmelo is feasting, and there's value to that. This is what the Rockets did a year ago. I'm not saying they're anywhere near that 65-win form again, but if you want to be an upper-tier team in the Western Conference, you've got to take care of business against the teams that you should beat. It's not as easy as it sounds, and I don't know if the Rockets win either game, let alone both, without the contributions from Carmelo Anthony the last two nights. It's not that he was the star, but again, both nights, while he wasn't, I would say, the headliner, he was the variable, the guy that stepped up. And without Carmelo Anthony, the Rockets could very easily be 1-7 and in a very bad place right now. Instead, they're 3-5, winners of back-to-back games, and now 2-1 in the games that James Harden and Chris Paul have played together. So I know it's early, it hasn't been perfect, but when Carmelo Anthony has been in the role that I think the Rockets closely envision him to be in, through 8 games, he's been pretty solid. There are signs that you can win with Carmelo Anthony, that he can be an asset to this team. Again, small sample, but at this point, that's all we have to go on. And through eight games, the last two wins, it's been pretty encouraging as far as Carmelo Anthony. Again, 17 points, 7 boards, 8 of 14 shooting in his 32 minutes in Saturday night's 96-88 win in Chicago. Now, we spent much of the first two segments discussing, well, first, the successful return of James Harden, 25-7, combined with Chris Paul, who had 7 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 steals, the Rockets' 96-88 winners over the Bulls. But more importantly, Harden and Paul between them, 32 points, 15 assists, 8 steals, and the Rockets now 2-1 in the 3 games this season that both Chris Paul and James Harden, their anchors, their foundation, have played. So there are the key storylines. But Carmelo Anthony, 2 games in a row to see him play well, especially after the abuse he had taken after the final 2 games of the homestand. Not to say that he was good, but again, I think a lot of it was kind of misplaced frustration because the Rockets were 1-5. It was very disappointing. Carmelo Anthony was not good defensively, but I think a lot of that was effectively people looking for something to pile on. And with Carmelo being the new piece, really the only notable piece that was clearly different from the 65-win team a year ago, and you combine that with some woeful defensive numbers. Now, I know he was at the 3 for a lot of those games and starting. That's not the optimal usage, and it's not really fair to Melo, but that's just the way it is. When you go from 65-17 to starting 1-5, it's natural to blame what's new, and so Melo became a punching bag in the national media. And I think we all know, especially after a couple of seasons in which he took a lot of heat in New York and Oklahoma City, it's not necessarily fair, but that's what happened. At the same time, since those of us who watched the games understand that it was not nearly as much Carmelo's fault as the national narrative would lead you to believe, it is good to see him have these back-to-back quality games in Brooklyn and in Chicago to help get the Rockets back on the right track. That said, Carmelo Anthony was not the only role player that succeeded on Saturday night. I would say he was the headliner, yet again, but when you limit an NBA team, I don't care who it is, to 88 points in this era of freedom of movement this season, which scoring is up all over the league, you're getting contributions up and down the roster. PJ Tucker, after playing a game-high 39 minutes Friday night, played another 34. He was solid yet again, but you look at the bench, Gary Clark, Isaiah Hartenstein, Gerald Green, those guys played their butts off. And to me, you're starting to see Mike D'Antoni realize who he can trust. Michael Carter-Williams, we've been through this several times over the 1-5 start. He's not giving them nearly enough offensively to offset what he is defensively, which is not good. I mean, it's kind of funny. You think when a player is long and athletic like Michael Carter-Williams and he can't shoot, then he must be good defensively. Well, he hasn't been. And over the course of his NBA career, he's really not. He's long, he's athletic, he has tools, but he's not that good defensively. He can't shoot from 3, and he's also shooting just about 50% from the free throw line. So really, he's giving you nothing. He's been one of the worst rotation players in the NBA. So why play him? We've seen Mike D'Antoni shorten the leash in recent games, playing him just 6 minutes, like on Friday night against Brooklyn. Well, Saturday night, he didn't play him at all. He gave all those minutes to Gary Clark, who in 21 minutes, just 6 points, but he also had 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. His energy was infectious, and even though he was 2 of 6, those 2 threes came early, and it kind of offset what was a slow start. Chris Paul and James Harden, neither of them had a field goal. They ended up with 10 combined, but they were at 0 midway through the second quarter, and they could have been buried. They could have been down 14 like they were Friday night in Brooklyn. They weren't, because James Ennis, who had 15 points, most of those came early, and Gary Clark had just 6 points, but he made both of his 3s in the first half, and those were key. It's not to say that Clark was dynamic on the whole. Again, 6 points, 2 of 6 shooting in 21 minutes. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's nothing to write home about. But again, 7 rebounds in those 21 minutes, 2 blocks, a steal. His energy was enormous. He didn't have anywhere near the mistakes that Michael Carter-Williams made. They had to respect him from 3 at a bare minimum. The Bulls can't just leave him the way they would if it was Michael Carter-Williams out there. But generally speaking, he was sound defensively. He didn't blow assignments. And kudos to Mike D'Antoni for realizing that, hey, even though Michael Carter-Williams is an NBA veteran, at the same time, if you've watched the first 8 games of the year, it's pretty clear that Gary Clark is more poised. He's getting those minutes. Another guy that speaks to, Isaiah Hartenstein, 13 minutes. The stat line doesn't do him justice. 2 points, 2 boards, but he was plus 7 in those 13 minutes. His energy was incredible. He was all over the floor, diving for loose balls, running the pick and rolls like a madman. He was on the floor one end, getting up and busting his butt 94 feet to get to the rim. Even on switches, that's something I've criticized him for early this season because he's looked a little bit confused on his feet, but maybe a lot of that is just inexperience. I said, and it looks like I was wrong on Friday night, I said early on that I was hoping those minutes would go to Marquise Chris because he's clearly more of an athlete. He's got more tools. There's a reason he was a lottery pick. Well, there's also a reason the Rockets didn't pick up his year four option at only $4 million. Marquise Chris has largely been a bust in the NBA. Isaiah Hartenstein doesn't really have that track record of failure. He's a guy who he may not be the same raw talent that Marquise Chris is, but he has a relentless motor. He is very intelligent. And the miscues he had his first few times in an NBA rotation to start the year, they weren't really there on Friday night. Again, the 2 points, two rebounds in 13 minutes, it doesn't really do him justice because the effort level was tremendous. That's why the Rockets were plus seven in those 13 minutes. And kudos to Mike D'Antoni for being willing to trust a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein, like Gary Clark, rookies. We all know what the reputation for Mike D'Antoni is. He doesn't trust young players. We know what has been the rep on him for a long time in NBA circles. Well, with the Rockets starting 1-5, beggars can't be choosers. They need a spark, and kudos to Mike D'Antoni. It's not like he's just saying, well, Michael Carter-Williams and Marquise Chris, they have multiple years of NBA experience, so I'm going to ride or die with those guys. No, they're not producing. He knows they need a win, and Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein, they don't have the experience, but they have the effort, they have the motor, they have the high IQ, so they're playing. Again, it's not that the two of them, you look at the box score, you'll see a combined 8 points, nine rebounds, three blocks in 34 minutes. It's solid between the two of them. Nothing to write home about. Nothing where you're going to say, wow, Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein, one of those guys can challenge for Rookie of the Year. It's nothing like that. But they are solid rotation players. And again, for a team that started 1-5, you're not expecting them to be dynamic overnight. What you're trying to do is buy time. You're trying to stabilize. You're trying, especially without Eric Gordon. And again, I'm not really worried about Eric Gordon, who sat out Saturday night with a sore leg. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact he had a sore Achilles in the preseason, and in early November, a road back-to-back, that's a situation where you're not going to push anybody. It's not just a road back-to-back, it's actually a three-game and four-night stretch. The Rockets play again on Monday night in Indianapolis against the Pacers, so if anybody has any minor injury whatsoever, you're not going to push them. At the same time, when you start 1-5, you're not in a point where you can give away games. You need to grind, and Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein, I know they're young, but they give you a better ability to grind than what Michael Carter-Williams and Marquise Chris, based on what I've seen of them start this season, would give Mike D'Antoni. So despite the rep, kudos to Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets staff for adjusting. They're showing a sense of urgency, and in my opinion, because of that, the Rockets have won consecutive games after that four-game losing streak and seem to be stabilizing at 3-5 on the year, a chance to make it three in a row on Monday night in Indianapolis. Anyway, until then, this is where we'll break it. As always, I appreciate you guys, our loyal listeners, for tuning in. If you want more content before Monday night's recap, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget, website, LockedOnRockets.com. Email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Facebook account, Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. Always, you can access our content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, pretty much whatever we can do to make this a better podcast for you, a diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being, don't hesitate to let us know. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, Megaphone, etc., please do. That's how you'll get our episodes right when they come out. And if you would also be kind enough to leave us a 5-star review, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets, the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, if you haven't checked out our sister shows, wherever you listen to our podcast, the odds are you can also find those, because at the Locked On Podcast Network, we have local experts covering the MLB, NBA, NFL, college sports here in the greater Houston area. That also includes Houston Texans football in the NFL and Texas A&M football in the NCAA. Both of those squads have big games this weekend. Well, A&M unfortunately had a negative result, blowing a fourth quarter lead against Auburn on Saturday. If you want to hear about what happened there, you can tune in to Locked On Aggies. My friend Taylor Travis hosts that. He'll give you the down low on what happened in that collapse. Or if you want hopefully a more positive show, Locked On Texans will have a recap tomorrow when the Texans face the Broncos. The Texans have an opportunity to extend their AFC South lead, improve to 6-3 on the season, with a game in Denver against former Texan Case Keenum and the Broncos. So if you want post-game coverage of that, then check out Locked On Texans. Again, you can find Locked On Texans or Locked On Aggies at the same places you find Locked On Rockets. With those plugs out of the way, I will sign off. Again, the happy final from Chicago on Saturday evening. Rockets 96, Bulls 88. Rockets have now won consecutive games, improving to 3-5 on the year. Bulls falling to 2-8. So on that happy note, enjoy the rest of your weekend and come back soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball.